Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We should do the show outside. We need to get some sort of veranda built or some sort of...
A balcony?
Know, yeah. So we could just sit outside. Think how good the show would be if we could just sit on a patio overlooking a putting green and just do it from there. Outside, cup of coffee, sun's coming up.
Give me some birds chirping in the background. Yeah. Should be some good show sound.
How many bird calls do you know?
Oh, no, I'm going to be bad at this.
None. I know a cardinal. I can tell you a cardinal. In fact, sometimes in my backyard, I whistle back to the Cardinals, and I tell myself in my head that we are talking. Yeah.
The Cardinals probably like, look at this idiot. He isn't Cardinal.
Look at this idiot. They respond.
He's yelling at you that you don't actually speak Cardinal.
I recognize your accent.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on Western New York Sports Giant, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Another day of 80 degrees on the way today.
Mm-hmm.
80 and sunny. 54 right now, high of 81.
You don't sound excited.
I'm fine with it. I played golf yesterday, and you know how it goes, Joe. As the chief appreciator of fall, people, when it's nice outside, like to say, oh, it's your favorite time of year. It's elite season. And I say, yes, that's right. But I would take, like, you know, I would take 58 in the middle of the day.
81 isn't what you're thinking of when you think of fall, typically.
It's part of fall. It's all part of the body of work. It's in there.
81?
Yeah, it's in the mix. It's not unusual.
That's summer throwing a late haymaker from beyond.
You're confusing temperature with season. Fall does include 80s.
That's how it works.
Sometimes.
Always.
Every year.
Every year?
Every year. Yep, every year. In September, you get some really nice
What about
days.
Like a full week, though, that we're getting right now of it?
This is like 2 weeks.
2 weeks of
right?
It, yeah.
70s and 80s, yeah. I mean, whatever. Once we get into the 60s and the 50s, I'll be just as happy. I'm ready to play some golf when it's 49 degrees outside. I'm ready to wear pants.
Mm-hmm.
But for now, yeah.
No, I looked at my weather app today. I'm like, you know, it's 58 right now, but can't wear a hoodie.
Right.
With that, can't wear pants with that.
Highs in the 70s straight through all the way to next week, too.
Beautiful. Well, we got a home game in a couple days, so that's good.
Yeah.
That's good news.
I'll tell you, watching the game outside at Borderland on Saturday, it was hot in the sun. So hot that at one point I was looking back, and my dad is like, what are you doing? Why do you keep looking back? The sun was up here. And he's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm scouting clouds.
Yeah.
I'm looking for big clouds that are going to help us out here because the shade is everything right now.
Yep.
I'm sweating. It's hot. There's 100,000 people here. We got to get some clouds, and we spent all day after that.
Did you have a breeze at least? Because
there was a breeze, but it was hot out in that field, and we were watching that game. But it was awesome.
A breeze is the unsung hero there. You know, you need just a little breeze make you feel a lot better.
It's also too cold to do anything like on the water, isn't it?
Because
the water is so cold.
The water starts to get cold fast. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I had friends that I couldn't do it because I had a golf thing this weekend, but like they went out on the boat. And at the end, they're like, man, we couldn't go like waist deep in the water like we normally do because it was ice cold.
Mm-hmm.
So even that, like that would be a great boat day with, you know, the way the sun is and the temperature. But I don't know about the water.
And when the water starts to get colder, that means it gets even cooler by the water. So if it's 80 up here inland, it's going to be, you know, 68 by the water.
Yeah.
Don't quote me on that exact number. That's the vibe I've got. Anyway, good morning, everybody. Jeremy and Joe. Owen's here. Joe Kelly producing. We're hanging out. Watched a doubleheader of Monday Night Football last night. Maybe you watched a doubleheader. Maybe you watched one game. Maybe you watched nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But, two teams that I think are good got wins. I think the Bucs are good, and they won. And I think the Chargers are good, and they won. And they joined the ranks of 2-0.
Yeah.
The 2-0 teams. Do you think Sean McDermott, is Brandon Bean you know, to steal a line from fantasy football. Does he look at the standings and say, like, all right, who else we got here? It's 2-0. That's what you do in your fantasy league,
he
right?
He probably keeps that tab open at all times, just doesn't
who's, he? Who's 2-0?
Standings page.
Who do I have to take seriously of the 2-0 teams?
Do the GMs have their own, like, standings website, or do they just go to, like, ESPN for that? Probably just go to whatever site we're going to.
How many teams are 2-0?
How many teams are 2-0?
How many teams are 2-0?
Well, there's two from last night. The Bills are 2-0. The Packers, so is there going to be like 8, is my guess.
10.
Okay.
10 teams are 2-0.
How many are in the AFC?
The Bills, the Bengals, the Colts.
The Bengals.
The Chargers.
Right.
4. 6 in the NFC, 4 in the AFC.
That's why it doesn't feel like that many to me, because in the AFC, there's 4 AFC teams that are 2-0, and 2 of them I don't take seriously at all.
Right. One's the Colts.
Because of Daniel Jones, and the one other one is the Bengals.
They have their backup quarterback because Joe Burrow is out for a long time.
So I guess, like, you know, I'm the Chargers right now, or I'm looking at the Chargers. What might be the only one that I'm like, all right, I see you. You're 2-0. That quarterback's great. The defense looks really good through a couple of games.
Their defense looks very good.
Run game looks good if Amari Hampton just doesn't fumble, basically. So, yeah. And also, by the way, like, the Chargers' biggest problem in recent years has been you don't got anybody that Justin Herbert can throw the ball to, especially down the field. And right now, that trio, find me a trio that's playing as good or better than the Chargers trio right now.
Johnston, McConkie, and who? Keenan Allen?
Keenan Allen's look really good also. Yeah. Johnston especially, though, because Johnston was like total bust first two seasons.
Yep.
Drop problems, not much production, and it's only two games, but he's made giant plays in both of these first two games.
Yeah, he had 71 on a touchdown yesterday.
Okay, yeah. So if they've got receivers around Ladd McConkie now, like that's the last piece of the puzzle for me with them. That was the thing they didn't have. And if they've got it, then I'm thinking lookout on the Chargers. They finally did it. The year I'm like, I'm just not buying into them anymore. I keep getting burned. That's the year they actually turn it around.
We'll see.
They're favored to win the division?
They are. They are the favorites to win the division. The Chiefs are no longer the favorite. They're plus 230.
Wow.
If you want to bet the NFC or the AFC West, the Chiefs plus 230. The Chargers are favorites. And they're 2-0. So Chargers, Bengals, Colts, Bills in the AFC. 4 teams. The Ravens are, of course, 1-1. You might think they're better than a lot of the 2-0 teams, NFC as well. The rest of the list on 2-0 teams. Arizona.
Wow, it's weird. Doesn't feel like. Well, they've played
the Saints and the Panthers.
Okay,
all right, but whatever.
There you go.
It's Arizona's 2-0. Green Bay's 2-0.
That feels right.
The Rams are 2-0.
Okay. Yeah.
They beat the Titans and the Texans. The Eagles are 2-0.
Yeah.
Cowboys and Chiefs. And the Niners are 2-0. Saints, and who'd they beat in week one? I already forgot.
They beat the... I don't remember.
Seahawks.
Yes.
Yep. So there you go. Your 2-0 teams. And then there's your 0-2 teams. One of them comes in this week for the Dolphins, 0-2.
Mm-hmm.
Bears, Browns, Texans, Chiefs, Dolphins, Saints, Giants, Jets, Titans. And everybody else is in the middle. Early on in the season here, finding out. I was thinking about the Chargers and what it would take to take them seriously. The Chargers, who win last night and made Geno Smith look bad. At one point, he was 0-for-10 with 3 picks. About as bad a game as he's ever played. And, you know, Geno Smith, he's played from some pretty bad games and rediscovered himself and reinvented himself. What would it take for the Chargers to be taken seriously? Don't the Chargers as a franchise have a lot of what the Dolphins have going on right now, which is, oh, you won a couple games, congratulations. No one thinks it's real. No one thinks you can do anything. And now the Dolphins, it's kind of all coming apart. Mm-hmm. They had a couple seasons there where they would beat bad teams and not beat any good teams. And the Chargers they had a good year last year. They got beat in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And they're in the division with the Chiefs. Their coach is good. I think their coach is good. And they're 2-0. The Bills do not play them. So the race for the 1 seed, if you're thinking about it, maybe the Chargers are the most realistic team to watch. A division winner, it's got to be a division winner. Mm-hmm. And in the North, Bills have tiebreaker over the Ravens. In the South, I don't think anybody's going to be in the mix for the 1 seed. That leaves the West. Broncos, Chargers, Chiefs. and the Chargers are 2-0, and you don't play them. So
you don't play them.
I don't know if that becomes the team you watch along with the Chiefs and the Broncos, but they're 2-0, and I think they are to be taken seriously as a true contender. They haven't knocked on the door, but how different is that than when Cincinnati broke through and made the playoffs? They had knocked on the door. They're kind of just like, oh, they're ready, and bang, they're in the Super Bowl.
The difference is they had just really arrived, right, with Burrow and with Taylor being competitive in the playoffs. Like, was that even their first time in the playoffs?
I believe it was.
Like, as a group, as a coach-quarterback combo?
I'll pull that up right now, but I know they didn't make it far.
Because the Chargers, I mean, the coach has only been there for 1 year, but this quarterback has been there for a minute now.
When the Bengals made the Super Bowl, it's 2021.
Yeah.
That's Chase's rookie year, and they had not made the playoffs in 6 years before that.
Okay.
It was get to the playoffs, win, mm-hmm. and lose in the Super Bowl.
Okay. Well, on the Chargers side, like you're talking, this is his sixth season mm-hmm. in the league and second with this coach. So that's the part that's a little bit different. But it would be the Harbaugh part of it is, all right, that we got 1 year in and we didn't shake the narrative of we will blow it in the big games because we did it. We blew it. And they should have won that Texans game and they didn't by all the interceptions. So if they can right that wrong by, I mean, I almost feel like that for them might just be winning the division as much as it is like winning a playoff game. You know, like I think winning the division and stopping the Kansas City run, that might be enough for them mm-hmm. to be labeled. Like, I don't know that they have to make some deep playoff run. If they just show, hey, we could beat Kansas City and they win the division and they lose some close game in, you know, the first round, I don't think that that's a bad season for the Chargers. And I think they're very capable of winning the division.
Me too. Their offense looks good. Their defense looks good. I saw Jim Harbaugh referred to Derwin James as the best safety he's ever seen. So yeah. High praise from his head coach. You know, sometimes your coach is going to say nice things. Other times he's going to make you the best to ever play your position. And that's something Harbaugh said about Derwin James.
The other thing they were doing last night, not the whole game, but there were a bunch of plays where Justin Herbert dropped back to pass, and he just had all day. Maybe that's more about the Raiders. I don't know. They have Max Crosby, but I don't know what else they've really got as a pass rush. But a couple of plays where he's just standing back there, and the rest of the night was...
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Part of what made him have such a bad game is he was under duress constantly. And if you watch that earlier game, that was both teams, right? And it made me think a lot about the Bills line and like how appreciative should maybe be about the build of their line up front and that being the identity of their offense around Josh Allen. Because that early game on Monday night, both sides just... Neither quarterback could do almost anything. Stroud is just frazzled on every play because you could just see it. There were plays where he finally got protection and he's like jittering around in the pocket because he's expecting that somebody's going to come through free. He's almost surprised that his line is held up and blocked. And Mayfield took a bunch of sacks that killed drives because that pass rush for Houston with Anderson and Danielle Hunter was just
nasty.
Nightmare fuel.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Allen is going to get away from pressure as much as anybody in the league, but we're coming off a game where the Bills' line just mauled the Jets. And you saw three teams last night at least where, like, they couldn't do anything on offense for big parts of their games because they just couldn't block anybody. And Houston's number one for that. I don't know if Tampa, that's a big problem of theirs. That might have been just going against those pass rushers. I don't know how Houston has the season. How do they score?
Right.
They get a broken Nick Chubb run that scores for them, but otherwise, like, they didn't go on long drives yesterday in that game. They got drives killed because, again, like, everything breaks down the second the ball snaps with them.
One thing I think about with the Bills, you know, whether it's all the things over the years. Think about all the different things we've said are secret formulas to winning. 20 years ago, it's run and stop the run. Then it's win the turnover margin. It's all these things. And the Bills' formula, Joe, might be don't take sacks.
Mm-hmm.
Have two ways that you don't take sacks. One, your line is awesome. Two, your quarterback gets away when you get a chance to get to him. How do the Bills have the most efficient offense in the NFL without having household names at receiver, tight end, without having top 10 guys at those positions? Of course, Cook, I feel like, is in the mix there. But how do you do it without having those incredible skill position players? The answer is you don't take negative plays. How are they always able to succeed? Because they don't get to, like the Jets did on Sunday, 3rd and 19, 3rd and 27.
I couldn't tell you. Houston yesterday, I couldn't tell you how many times they had 2nd and 16.
Yeah.
Just.
They do not have negative plays.
Right.
It's actually, it's kind of baked into the point when Ken Dorsey's offense was going. Remember, we all watched that. And we were all frustrated by how it wasn't working. And you'd have some in the analytics community kind of defending Dorsey's offense, saying, like, guys, EPA per play, they're pretty good. Because they didn't take negative plays.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't exactly great in generating positive plays, but the way that EPA per play works, I've read a little bit on this, that it really, it's like a, you're in class, you know, you're in a history class, and you get a zero on your test. What's that do to your average? You went from an A student to a D student in one, like a zero is bad. Mm-hmm. A negative is so bad to your EPA and EPA per play. And the Bills do not take negative plays. What'd they take against the Jets? One sack for 1 yard.
Yeah.
One sack for 1 yard. It's also kind of built into the point about Allen. When he was throwing interceptions, where are they all? 40 yards downfield. They're not close. So the Bills and Allen have a really good formula here, whether it's, you know, the receivers they have, the group they have, that everybody eats. What they have is they don't take negative plays. How many did they take against the Ravens? If they don't turn it over, which, by the way, they've won the turnover battle in 24 consecutive games,
yep.
This is a team that really makes a point that it doesn't kill itself with bad plays.
Right.
And you watch all these other teams like really fighting through it. So,
and a big part of it is their line. And, I mean, that goes to the run game as well, right? Like, James Cook, I was looking at some of his yards after contact and yards before contact numbers in the last year or so. And Sunday actually was more yards after contact game for him.
Yeah.
Career high, like over 106 yards,
this
I think was the number.
This is where I tell you that last year he had more yards after contact than Saquon Barkley.
Right, like he actually does stack those numbers.
Yes, he does.
He also, though, has big, like he's got some good metrics on like yards before contact. Like he's getting upfield. He's not getting met in the backfield. And there are some rush attacks where, like, you'll see this with Kenneth Walker. Sometimes we'll have these numbers, right, where his yards after contact are higher than his rushing total.
Yep.
It's like, how's that possible? Because he got hit in the backfield like 7 times, and that doesn't happen to Cook. So, I mean, I've got a big appreciation for their line this morning.
Yeah.
Eliminating the sacks and being, I think, a critical piece to why their ground game is as good as it's been in the whole time Sean McDermott's been the head coach.
It kind of gets back into the Cook conversation. It's the same conversation to me as the Barkley conversation. You want to make this about Detroit too, and Derrick Henry as well.
Yeah.
When is it worth having a good running back? When that running back, A, you can make him look great because you have talent in front of him, and B, he can make you look great because what he does. These are the top running backs last season, yards before contact per attempt.
Okay.
Barkley, Gibbs, Henry, Jordan Mason, Jonathan Taylor, Bucky Irving. Here's Jaleel McLaughlin in there. Tyrone Tracy, Chuba Hubbard, Chase Brown, and then James Cook.
Okay.
Like, Cook, it's a good number, but who's number one in the league in yards before contact?
Barkley. Yeah.
You take a great line and put a great back. Who's second? Gibbs. Who's third? Henry.
Right.
Like, the three best backs get the most before contact and plenty after contact as well.
But that's kind of a little, it's a little bit like, think of Cook's run against the Jets on Sunday. That's, all right, you got him to the second level. You got him to the third level with your blocking. Now watch him go to work.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and if you've got Barkley on the Giants, what makes Barkley special is he's going to embarrass linebackers and safeties. If you don't have a line that ever gets him to the linebackers and safeties, what's the point of it?
Right.
And Cook, he doesn't look as impressive as Barkley, just maybe because of the athletic difference. But he still is creating it.
He erases angles.
Like, it doesn't matter how it looks. He's actually having it happen more often than Barkley is, right? With 40-yard runs.
You know what long Cook runs end up looking like? They end up looking like punt returns, where he gets through a little bit of traffic, and then it's, uh-oh, is anybody back there? No man back. There's no punter to save this play to force him back in. Anyway, 803-0550. On the Bills, you know, short week. We're right back to it. So the Dolphins on Thursday.
Their defensive line was supposed to be improved, by the way, but I don't know.
It's supposed to be healthy because Jalen Phillips and
Bradley Chubb,
and Chop Robinson, I guess, had a pretty good rookie season.
Yep.
Like, they're supposed to have a good pass rush. It's just
they're banged up.
Nothing's going on in Miami that's good.
No.
They're having one of those seasons. That's another part of this formula for the Bills. On offense, they stay healthy.
Yeah,
knock on wood.
As we talk about the line, line's health has been unbelievable.
They stay
knocking
healthy.
On wood.
The Bills' defense does not stay healthy. The Bills' offense stays healthy, which is one of these spots where if you're someone that thinks, the Bills' training staff must really, it's not as good as it used to be, or it's not good. The Bills have all these injuries. Like, it only affects the defense. Only one side of the ball actually gets hurt.
Right.
The other side, you know, Coleman had his wrist broken from a hit.
All
the soft tissue stuff, all the ligament stuff, all the stuff that happens to the Bills, it only happens on the defensive side.
And Curtis Samuel.
Yes, of course.
Unfortunately.
Curtis Samuel.
But that predates the Bills, I think. A lot of that stuff happening to him. So
803-0550, our phone number, 1-888-550-2550. Baker Mayfield, he and the Bucs get a win, a touchdown pass to Emeka Egbuka, who is maybe the best young receiver in football right now. He looks great.
They got away with one at the end. Did you watch the final drive of that game?
I did not see the final drive.
Todd Bowles, man. Like, he is one of the worst game clock management coaches. He's been that, right? Like, for years now.
Yep.
He had two timeouts in his pocket. They throw it to Mike Evans for first and goal. 25 seconds. The clock is running. He's got two timeouts on, like, the 5-yard line. And they run to the line. And they run it. They waste more than half the time, like 15 seconds. And he throws it out to Kate Otten out of bounds. So now, look, you had 25 seconds with two timeouts, first and goal. Bowles lets the clock run down. They run a play. It gets out of bounds. So now you're sitting there, second and goal, 9 seconds, and you have your two timeouts, which you're not, like, you've given a play away.
Yeah.
Because you don't have enough time, but they got it anyway. So I wonder if he didn't get the question after the game because they actually scored. Because that was bad clock management and their offense got him through it.
I might want to make the case that the most exciting, if you were to predict what will be the best Bills game from here to the end of the season, what will be the most exciting or the best Bills game?
Mm-hmm.
Bills-Bucks is going to have a look at it. Because the Bucks might be able to do whatever they want offensively. That Texans defense they played is really good.
Yeah.
And this Bills defense, we'll see. Like, they flex muscles against the Jets. I think that's what's in our sights right now, is how good is the Bills defense. Against the Ravens, horrible.
Yeah.
Against the Jets, excellent. A lot of teams that you're going to play might be in between those two teams.
Mm-hmm.
The Bucs are in the middle. The Bucs have great receivers, a great elusive running back.
They might have Godwin by then.
They might have Godwin by then. Baker, I don't know about Baker. Like, can the Bills make Baker look bad? I think they can, but
Baker's funny.
But if I'm getting Tre'Davious White covered, Emeka Egbuka, or Chris Godwin with Taron Johnson, like, I've got my concerns.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do you do? Benford on Mike Evans? Mike Evans beats everybody anyway, except for Marshon Lattimore.
He made some plays against Derek Stingley last night.
Yep. So that's a fun one. That's a 1 o'clock Sunday game. That's the other Sunday 1 o'clock game remaining.
That's a fun one. I think Houston is the opposite of that. They're going to play that football game from last night where everything looks stuck. It's 20 to 19. It's almost amazing that there were that many points scored in that game. Houston's going to play that game all year.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be no points. It's going to be Iowa football in Houston for the entirety of this season. So maybe the Bills will be one of the teams that can get them. But they're going to be playing boring games all year long.
803-0550 is our phone number. 1-888-550-2550. It's Jeremy and Joe. We've got Sal coming up, of course. We'll get the latest on Matt Milano. I feel like every Bills fan hearing Matt Milano is out thinks, all right, that's normal,
we're
right?
We're used to this life. Yeah.
That's how this goes now. So unfortunate, but all right, that's what we're used to. So we'll get the news on Matt Milano. We'll get the latest on the prep leading into the Dolphins this week, where they stand. And they were close to winning. Miami had the game they thought won. And a touchdown came back on a penalty and then a couple of negative plays.
Did you see the Achane play?
That's what I'm talking about, yeah.
Oh, the one he stepped out of bounds.
Right. They thought they have the touchdown comeback. They thought it was basically a game-clinching touchdown.
Yep.
A couple of negative plays, and then they lose. So they could be 1-1, but they're not. And we'll talk about the Dolphins, of course, coming into Thursday Night Football. Ryan Fitzpatrick and Andrew Whitworth coming to town doing a live podcast.
Saw that.
Doing that at Wayland. That's exciting. So plenty to get to. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550 to join us. It's Jeremy and Joe, your calls, some instant trivia, some fun along the way. It's Football Tuesday. Right? We'll also check in on the Sabres Prospects Tournament, which wrapped up. Owen was there covering that a little bit with the guys. So lots to get to. You can join us on anything, 803-0550 on WGR.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.